my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore.
For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth.
And a reason. Nothing is by chance or by coincidence, certainly not for the overcomer. But everything is planned so that God can use all that we go through in order to experience more of Him. Praise God. And I have a title for our teaching today, Loving God in Our Trials. Loving God in Our Trials. And I'm basing our teaching today from a verse you know very well in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12, which reads, "Blessed is the man who endures temptations or trial, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Now, we of course have read that many times. We've taught on it, and I'm sure you have stood on that promise when going through various trials. But sometimes we forget the latter part of this verse, because it talks about those who go through these trials, who endure, who stay with it, who don't run away. And we're shown that we will receive a crown of life. And the Lord has promised this, and it's to those who love Him. And that's why I was inspired by this title, Loving God in Our Trials. That is important to remember that. The love of God keeps us in the walk. Our love for God will enable and help us to go through these various tests and trials that we face in life. And indeed we do. Because if we leave out love, we leave out God's love and our love for Him and His love for us, then it is not going to work. Trust me. But it is the love of God, because we love Him. So that is the emphasis of what I'm giving here today with regard to this teaching. You see, many times we think God designs our trials to see if we will be faithful. God permits and allows us to go through various trials and tribulations. And much of our trials are the result of a fallen and sinful world. Because the world out there, they go through trials, but they don't see what trials are to produce. And there is the difference. We go through these trials, we don't run or escape from them, simply because, as James says here, it's those who love Him. We know that there are going to be trials and tests, because Acts 14 and verse 22 tells us clearly what the Christian life is about. In Acts 14 and verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of heaven." There is no other way of entering the kingdom of heaven, and that is through many tribulations and trials. That is the means, that is the way of entering in. You can't enter in otherwise unless you have gone through these trials, through these tests. So we begin to understand, don't we, from the scriptures, why these are actually important. We may not always see them important, we may try and avoid them, but they are important for our growth, for our maturing, for our faith, and that is the point. You see, if we desire to live a godly life and a life of faith, there will be trials. We also see this in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So we're told to live a life yielded to God in obedience, a godly life. We will suffer persecutions. That is the walk. You see, life encounters, doesn't it, many trials and problems. And you know, it's going to take our love for the Lord to endure them. Many who go back or try and avoid trials and the overcoming life, they do it because they don't really love the Lord. They're not experiencing God's love either. You see, that's why I read James chapter 1, verse 12. It's to those who love him. And if we love him, we will endure. We will be faithful. We will stay with it. Because we know that he loves us, and there's always a bigger picture through the trial or when you come out at the end of it. That is our experience. That is, if you like, our vision of a trial. As hard as it can be, as negative as it can be, we know within our hearts, because of God's love, there will be something great that comes out of this. And of course, he promises a crown of life at the end of it. So what a reward. You can't get a better reward than that. And he says that if you just endure and remain and stay faithful in them. You say, well, you see, whatever we put our mind and heart to, there will be trials and challenges. Because we still live in a fallen world. It's what sin has done. It's what rebellion does. And so nothing is perfect in life. Your governments and politicians try to convince you that what they're doing is perfect. They're going to create this great utopia of a society. But it's a lie. They can't. Things go terribly wrong. We find that taxpayers' money on things at times goes terribly wrong, or it's wasted because we live in a fallen world. We know what it's like in life. We know sometimes that we just find ourselves running late. There just aren't enough hours in the day. It seems as though we've just not been able to catch up on anything. It's strange how that can happen. Or we find that we go out and suddenly the car doesn't start. It's broken down. You know, these are trials, and we can be so dependent upon these things. Or we forget to take money with us. You leave your bag behind, or handbag, or your wallet, or whatever it is. Or you've got an appointment and you suddenly find you turn up and you've got the wrong day for the appointment. I've been through some of these things. They can be quite vexing. Or you find the lawn needs mowing, you could get the lawnmower out to find that it's packed up or it isn't working. Or you find that you go out and you're a bit later than you thought you would be shopping or whatever it is, and you find when you get back you've got a parking ticket. These are all the problems and trials that we face in a fallen world. And the Lord watches to see what our attitude and our heart will be towards them. Whether we're going to turn away in a sulk and fall out with God, or we're going to find that we just praise God. Whatever this is, He is in control. He's permitted and He's allowed it for a purpose and a reason. Then we come to greater trials as a Christian. And these greater trials can be the loss of a loved one. That can be a big, big trial when you lose somebody so dear to you. Or you find that you found out your son has become an alcoholic. And great problems. These can be big shocks to one. Or the husband comes home and he says to the wife, "I've lost my job, I've been made redundant." Again, these can be big trials that can hit a home with a possibility of losing your house. Or they're the physical battles. These are big ones that we can be faced with. Where we go through a physical trial, God's permitting and allowing it to see where we are, where our faith is. Or we find that we've been falsely accused or we're lied about. Or somebody wants to take us to court or whatever it is. Or even there can be in the family somebody who has a bad car accident. These things just go on. We encounter them, they are around us, we hear about it, we read it in the paper, we hear it on the news. These things happen. You see, trials will test our love for God. And love has got to be tried, it's got to be tested. You see, love and trust in Him will only enable us to be faithful, to endure and to stay with it. Many who have gone back in this walk, and it's because of trials, something has come up. It's because they just don't love the Lord enough, or they're not experiencing the Father's love as they should. You see, our love for the Lord will cause our faith to believe, and it will bring us through. So you see, our faith also in many ways needs those trials, because that proves that we are in faith. It proves that our faith is growing, maturing by these trials. We all know when we've gone through a real trial, something happens to your faith. Your faith is much stronger than before you went through that trial. That trial, that tribulation has done something to your faith. You see, our faith needs these challenges. We've said so many, many times, and I'll say it again, our faith is like a muscle. It has to be exercised. It has to be used. It has to develop, which muscles must do as they waste away. And many Christians run away from that, failing to see that that is affecting their faith, their belief, their endurance. And you see, we must never lose sight of God's love and our love for Him in trials. This is what is going to anchor us. This is what helps us to go on. This is what stops us from wanting to run away. And we've all at times wanted to run away, or we feel we just can't take any more. But it's the love of God that keeps us in that place, and thank God for that. What does it say in our familiar psalm of Psalm 91 and verse 14. Psalm 91 and verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. There you are. Three wonderful verses. When we go through trials, look what he says there. Because you've set your love. Because he has set his love upon me. You can put your name there. Therefore, I will deliver you. Because you love me. And I love you. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. And he's going to set you on high. He's going to give you those eagle's wings to fly with him. To take you higher with him. That's what the deeper life is about. And you've known his name. You know the power. You know that name, the name of Jesus. You have experienced that name. You have seen that name heal and deliver and cast out demons. You have seen that name answer your prayers and spiritual warfare. You call upon him and he says, I will answer. You know he will answer. Do you know why? Because you love him and he loves you. That is where our faith is. That is where our prayers are answered. Because love will answer. Love will not deny. Love will not say no. That is the nature of it. And he says, I'll be with you in trouble. I'll deliver you and I'll even honor you. I'll give you long life and satisfy and show my salvation and so on. It's all there. One of the great, great psalms. What does Psalm 119 say? Psalm 119, which is all about the Word of God. And verse 97. Psalm 119 and verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. So there we are. We love him because we love his word. We love his word because we read such promises, like in Psalm 91, 14 onwards, James 1, 12. All of these convince us, influence us through the word of God. That's why we make so much of the word of God in this assembly, because faith comes by hearing, reading this word. What does it say in the Gospel of John? Turn with me to the Gospel of John. John chapter 14 and verse 15. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, keep with it. Be faithful. Stay with it. I know it looks bad. It's gone from bad to worse. But just stay there, just keep looking to me, talking to me, and we'll get through. And you know what? We do. We do. Because he's faithful, you see. But we're going to be tested on our love for him. Make no bones about it. If you want to be an overcomer, a son of God, you're going to be tested on this. Let's, for example, look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. So there we are. They are just some of the reasons why we stay in a trial, in a temptation, because it is about God's love. Never forget that, brothers and sisters. When you go through these tests and these trials, it's all about love, because love will do this. If you try to make this law, if you try to do this in your own strength, you will come unstuck. I can guarantee it every time. You see, all believers, overcomers, are called to endure tribulation. We know this in the book of Revelation. For example, when we see in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. And he goes on, do not fear any of these things which are about to, which will about to suffer. And so he goes on. You see, some are allowed more than others to be tried and tested. We know that the devil shall cast some of you into prison, he says in verse 10. Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. You see, the measure of our trials is the measure of God's confidence and trust in us. You see, some whose faith is weak or their consecration is shallow, they can't endure much trials. You know, we have the story of Job, don't we? As an example, he endured great trial and suffering and also personal loss. And his wife, she renounced her faith and she cursed God and said, just die. So she wasn't of much help to him either in his great trial and grief that he was going through. How about Abraham? He endured a test of his faith for 25 years concerning the promise of God that he made for him, that he would have a son. I mean, that is something, to wait 25 years by faith. You know, but God used that. And look what he gave him. He was faithful. He gave him that son, which he said he would do. How about Esau? He sold his birthright, his inheritance, because of physical hunger. He couldn't take the trial. Instead, the temptation was too much. So he sold his birthright simply because he was hungry. You see, there are some like that. They just can't take a trial. You see, tribulation and trial and testings are the means by which God prepares us for greater blessings. And that is the deeper life, the deeper walk with him. We know Moses, he was taken and put to one side to endure for 40 years in isolation on the backside of the desert in preparation for the role as Israel's great leader. He had to be trained for that. That didn't come immediately. And as a result of it, he had the great honor and privilege of speaking with God mouth to mouth. You can read that in Numbers 12. He met God. What a privilege. But look at the training, the testing that was required for this. David, King David, had to prove himself faithful by overcoming through years of persecution, didn't he, at the hands of King Saul. before he then himself inherited the kingship. He was persecuted many years by Saul. Saul was trying to take his life. Look at the trial and tribulation, but he loved God. He had a heart after God. And look what God did through him. Established his throne through him. What did the Lord say about the Apostle Paul? He said that he's a chosen vessel. But he said that he's got to go through great sufferings for my sake. And yet through that, he had the greatest revelations given to anyone in the New Testament. But look what he had to go through in trials and testings, persecutions, whippings, stonings. And Jesus said he must go through great things and suffer for my sake. And what about the Lord himself? The Bible says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, that is, he became complete. He became mature. He had grown up. You see, sonship must have trials. We're all in the process of maturing. We're coming into sonship. And God uses these trials to mature us. And the Bible tells us that he matured, he stayed with him, he became the author of eternal salvation. What a responsibility. He was taking the world, the universe, on his shoulder. We see a similarity of this, the Lord says in Revelation 3, verse 21. It affirms, doesn't it, the Lord, which he says here in 3, verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So in other words, he's saying that I overcame, I had to go through it, and the promise is if you go through it, you'll sit with me. You'll overcome and you'll sit down on my Father on his throne. So we have thrones to those who overcome like him. We share with him. We have something in common with him. Because he went through much trial and tribulation, we too go through much trial and tribulation. And there's our suffering. We go through these sufferings with him. He's going through it with us even now. And there's the love. There's the fellowship, you see. That is where he perfects us. This is what brings us into spiritual maturity. Through these trials and sufferings. And he says as a result of it, he'll allow us to enter into the place of deep fellowship and communion with him. That's why we're called overcomers, to overcome through tribulation and not to avoid it at any cost, which so many are. We know of some who are trying to avoid these trials. That's why we pray for them. We intercede for them. That's why we undergo these measures of trials. And that's why, sadly, a lot of Christians look at trials and tribulations as obstacles to simply avoid at any cost. But we know that we had to go through these. We know that we fought. Live in a fallen world. There are the laws of God that we've got to accept, as we shall never overcome. Hallelujah. Praise God. So there we are, brothers and sisters. It is the way into the kingdom of heaven. And God wants us to have a right heart and an attitude towards these trials. You see, love has to be experienced. And God's love is experienced through trials. This is one of the ways that we experience his love. You know, many Christians are crying out, Lord, I want to experience your love. I want to know that you love me. Well, God says, yes, then it's going to be trials and testings and tribulations. And then they think, oh, I'm not so keen about that. But of course, that is the only way. I've shown you this in Revelation 3. This is why it's faith. Because our love for him is not simply just based and experienced by just feelings, those five senses. This is not where you experience this. There are still so many of us, we want to experience God, we want to experience his love, we want to experience faith, we want it through the five senses. I want to smell, I want to taste, I want to touch, I want to see, I want to hear. And God doesn't appeal to those. Faith is that higher knowledge in which God's love can be experienced. That's why we're overcomers. This doesn't come by feelings and emotions. We may feel emotional at times, but our faith is not in that. Our trials, our tests, we may be feeling that physically and through the five senses, but our love for God, our faith for God, is higher above that. It's not dependent upon the feelings and emotions, for they will always trap you. They will always deceive you. And that's where the devil works. God doesn't work that way. And that is why the cross has to be established in our lives. Because the cross helps to deal where our faith wants to have feelings or those five senses. It will deal with that. Because our faith, our knowledge of God, is a higher knowledge that cannot be attained through the feelings and emotions and the five senses. We did a teaching on that the other week. And this is where we experience God's love. And it's experienced because, as I've closed now with this, it's experienced because you have come through this trial and God didn't forsake you. God was faithful. He was with you right in it. And even when you came out of the other end, there he was, as faithful as ever. That just touches you. It affects your love for God. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And that is what the deeper life is about. We're going deeper and deeper with God. And God uses these trials, tests, tribulations, temptations as a way of us going deeper with him. This is why I call this teaching Loving God in Our Trials. So when these trials come, or you may be going through a trial right now, that trial, much of it is to do with God's love and you loving him. That's why, as I close now, I give that scripture again in James 1, chapter 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation or trials, for when he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And that is the key. It's to those who love him. We know those who love him, and you will know that you love him because you come, you listen to the word, you come to the meetings, You put your ear and your heart to the message. These are all clear signs of your love for God and God's love for you. It's not rocket science to discern and test this. This is why it is so important that we pray and intercede for one another. And one of the most powerful prayers that we can pray for our brothers and sisters, that they will experience the love of God and that they will love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind and being. That is a very powerful prayer that we can pray for those who may be battling at this present time. And many of them battle, or many of them just sit on the fence. It's because of these trials, tribulations and so on. Yet the Lord says that is the way into the kingdom of heaven. Keep loving the Lord. That is the key.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. Lord, He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night.